You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we're going to be discussing the Martin Odegaard rumours. We're also going to be reacting to Mikel Arteta's latest press conference in which he discussed a number of topics. He discussed the transfer window, our plans for that. He discussed the future of Balogun, what's going on with Emile Smith-Rowe's contract. He talked about the possibility of Arsenal bringing in a left back and plenty more. So we'll be digging into all of that during this evening's live stream. A big hello to those of you currently watching us on YouTube, because I know many of you have been in the comments section for a little while. So thank you for your continued support. Thank you to everyone watching us on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, wherever you might be. Thank you for being part of the Chronicles of Aguna family. Don't forget, if you haven't already, hit the like button on the video. It does really, really help. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel already, well, make sure you do, because we are closing in on 11,500 subscribers on our YouTube channel alone. And we'd like to get there as soon as possible. So if you haven't already, make sure you hit that button. Also, a quick plug for our transfer special, which we put out yesterday with Fabrizio Romano. I know most of you have probably seen it, but if you haven't, if you're catching us for the first time in a few days, head back to that one. You can find it on YouTube, of course, and on all major podcast stores. So thank you for all your support in that as well. Had lots of positive messages off the back of that one. So thank you all so much for your kind words. Right, without further ado, let's get into it. Martin Odegaard is being linked with a move to Arsenal. We were told last night that the club had made an approach for Odegaard, who is out of favour at Real Madrid. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's made just 7 appearances in La Liga. Do you know what? I wrote a piece about it earlier today. Let's double quickly check that to make sure. I wrote a piece on why Martin Odegaard would actually be the perfect fit for Arsenal on loan. So you can gather from that straight away that I've got, I'm on the side of the fence on this one, where I think that actually somebody like Martin Odegaard would suit us down to a T. So I put a piece out on 90min.com earlier on, which some of you will have seen via my social media platforms. And we were talking about Odegaard and why he would be the perfect fit for Arsenal, because I genuinely do believe that. And some of the reasons were the fact that he's been, you know, really, really frustrated. It is correct. 7 appearances for Los Blancos so far this season, which for a player of his quality is absolutely nothing. We're talking about somebody, Martin Odegaard, who's been very much on the radar of the top European football clubs for a long, long time. If I'm not mistaken, it was 16 or 17 years old at the time that Real Madrid picked him up. So he's kind of always been in that kind of big club environment, or at least for the last few years. But unfortunately for him at Real Madrid, it's not quite worked out as he would have hoped. I've already said it, but 7 La Liga appearances is nowhere near enough for him to make his mark. And he's apparently gone to Real Madrid and made it clear that he wants to go elsewhere so that he can play football on a regular basis, which I guess for someone of his age, someone at his kind of stage in development, that is key. It is so, so crucial. And a loan move away at the moment feels like the only way that that's going to happen. As Fabrizio told us yesterday on the transfer special, the market out there right now is very, very difficult, not just here in the UK, but across Europe. So there'll be very few clubs who are going to be going and spending big cash, you'd imagine, between now and the end of this window. Will things get better by the time the summer window comes along? I don't know, but I wouldn't imagine so in most cases. So for Martin Odegaard to leave Real Madrid now, it has to be on a loan deal. Fabrizio said that if Real Madrid were going to let him go temporarily, it would be exactly that, a temporary move. He's not somebody that they have an appetite to sell. They still believe that he is someone with the talent to go on to very, very big things. If they didn't think that, they wouldn't have picked him up at such a young age. So he's rated at Real Madrid, but I guess in Zinedine Zidane's eyes, he's not quite the finished article right now and not quite the man he wants to trust in that kind of number 10 role in that attacking midfield position. And we know, look, things aren't going particularly well for Real Madrid at the moment and Zinedine Zidane. I've just finished writing a piece on the fact that River Plate's Marcelo Gallardo is being linked with being the replacement for Zidane, and that he's someone that Florentino Perez is, and I quote, desperate to bring into the club. So, you know, maybe if Zidane is given the boot, then the situation at Real Madrid might change for Martin Odegaard. But at this stage, it seems very likely that he will be leaving the club on loan in search of regular football after he himself requested that be the case. Now, there have been a number of other clubs interested in Martin Odegaard, another Premier League club, apparently, who we think might be. Oh, some people are saying it's Manchester United. I'm not sure if Manchester United have room for an Odegaard in their squad. You know, they've got Bruno Fernandes, Paul Pogba. You know, they've got a lot of creative forces in midfield. And, you know, I don't really see that as a goer. But, you know, there is another Premier League club linked. In terms of competition abroad, well, Real Sociedad are being heavily linked with taking Martin Odegaard back on loan again. Now, of course, Odegaard spent last season on loan with La Royal, as they're known, and he had a really, really good season. He had a really, really positive season there. So, you know, having gone there, contributed seven goals, I think it was. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly. I've got the article in front of me. I'm still not reading it. Contributing 7 goals and 9 assists. That's what he contributed last season with Real Sociedad. So he's a player that they know very well. It's a club that he knows very well. And of course, moving to the Anoeta would mean that Martin Odegaard wouldn't have to leave Spain, which obviously is another big change that he would have to go through if he was going to come to the Premier League. So that seems like it's the most likely destination for Martin Odegaard. But according to Fabrizio Romano, he's put out a tweet, when was it, 2:23 p.m. today. So this is kind of the latest thing that he's had to say on it. I know there are other outlets there as well, but obviously Fabrizio is topical at the moment for us. And he said that Martin Odegaard is tempted by the Arsenal loan bid, but he's going to decide about it with his family. He also says that Real Sociedad have been in advanced talks to sign him for a week, leading the race over Ajax. But apparently the Arsenal offer has led him to take hours and days of reflection. So it feels like Martin Odegaard is considering the possibility of moving to Arsenal, but we're not any closer to getting that deal done to our knowledge. So let's not get carried away. Let's not sort of get the champagne out yet, but it does feel as though, you know, it was all done and dusted. He was on his way to Real Sociedad and boom, in came Arsenal and started to show a bit of interest. And all of a sudden, Martin Odegaard seemingly is having second thoughts now about where his next destination should be, albeit just on a loan move. So we'll have to see how that one unfolds. In my article where I spoke about why he would be perfect and the perfect fit for Arsenal, I'll explain the reasons to you now. The reasons I think it would be a perfect fit is because if Martin Odegaard comes to Arsenal, we know that it is a temporary fix. We know that Martin Odegaard would be coming in and there would be zero chance of us converting that deal into a permanent one in the summer. Because as I've said, all the reputable sources are reporting that Real Madrid will not even consider allowing an option to buy to go into that contract. So it would be very much temporary. And what that means is in the long term, it won't damage Emil Smith-Rowe's prospects, a player that we all very much like and hope goes on to achieve big things. On the other hand, Martin Odegaard is someone with a point to prove. And you tend to find that bringing players in with a point to prove is usually more successful than going after somebody who may be, who maybe has been there, done it. You know, for example, Isco at Real Madrid, another player at Real Madrid. Isco's been there, he's done it, he's won Champions Leagues. What more is there really for Isco to achieve? What would be his motivation in coming to the Emirates Stadium? Whereas Martin Odegaard, who we know adores Real Madrid, would love to play for Real Madrid in the future, would love to be a regular, and is at a point now in his career where he needs to prove himself. I think that is a more powerful motivation than any 30-plus player who's sort of entering towards the back end of their career could possibly have. So for that reason, I feel, for those two reasons, I should say, I feel like Martin Odegaard would be a really good fit. Add to that, he's got the ability. Everybody's seen it. Everybody knows it. The ability, the motivation, and the fact that it wouldn't prohibit Emile Smith Rowe in the long term, I think make this the right deal to go for. Obviously, it depends on finance. There will no doubt be some kind of loan fee involved. How much of his wages will Arsenal have to contribute to? Will they have to contribute to all of it? We don't know the ins and outs of the potential deal. But yeah, I would be on board with this one for the reasons I've just explained. Let me know what you guys think in the live chat. Let's see what you guys are saying regarding the possibility of Martin Odegaard coming to Arsenal on loan. Let's have a look at what some of you are saying. Deruve says, honestly, Odegaard would be Denis Suarez part two. Players from other leagues take time to adapt in the Premier League. What else have we got here? Rob Balding says, as long as Emile Smith Rowe is still the first choice, I wouldn't mind Odegaard. Look, I think we all accept and we all acknowledge and we all kind of see, don't we, that Emile Smith Rowe has the talent, to go on and play that position for Arsenal for many, many years to come. But there are concerns about A, his fitness, you know, his ability to stay fit, and B, there is no other player in the squad, as we've seen, particularly now that Mesut's off, that fits that same profile, as in somebody who is an out-and-out number 10. People talk about Joe Willock playing there. For me, Joe Willock is not a number 10. Joe Willock is a bit more of an Aaron Ramsey, someone that prefers to start that a little bit deeper, but then has that ability to make those runs into the penalty area and impact games that way. But we've all seen with him that he's just not up to standard, and that's the harsh reality of it. He's not at the level that we need. So, you know, can you rely solely on Emile Smith Rowe every week? Can you rely on him in a season where the fixtures are congested the way they are to play week in, week out? I would say no. So there needs to be a backup. There needs to be someone to come in. And now that Emile Smith Rowe has emerged the way he has, it becomes even more important that the deal is one that is right for us in terms of somebody who's going to come in, has the ability to make an impact, compete with Emile Smith Rowe for that position, but equally not be there for the long term and not prohibit his development. Now, if you're talking about in the summer, Arsenal coming to the table and potentially being able to sign a top, already proven number 10, I'd be all for that. But, you know, right now in January, that's going to be very, very difficult to do. We understand that the finance isn't there either. So it's very much going to be a short-term signing for Arsenal. And so why would you want to go and spend an absolute fortune on someone if you could potentially do a deal like this, whereby Odegaard benefits, whereby Real Madrid benefit because their asset is going out and he's playing football and he's getting better and he can show what he can do. And of course, for the player, it gives him the opportunities. It just suits all parties, this kind of deal. I understand why people want to see Emile Smith Rowe as the first choice. And I think in the longer term, that will certainly be the case. But I am still wary of relying too heavily on Emile Smith Rowe because he will go through a bad patch, as all young players do. And he will, at some point, break down with an injury or some kind of fitness issue. So, you know, you have to consider those things. Right now, we're so heavily reliant on his creativity that I dread to think what would happen if he wasn't around. And that, for me, just highlights the need to go and get somebody else in, somebody who can come in and compete with him. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Matt G, one of our members, Says, I'd love us to sign him, but can't see it happening. I don't want to get my hopes up. Wes Bird, another one of our members, says, think this would be a really smart move that wouldn't impact on Emile Smith Rowe's development and would create strong competition. We would have the depth in the squad to rotate. Completely agree with that. Omar says, I don't think it will happen, to be honest. Robin has suggested that the other Premier League club might be Leicester. I did read that earlier on, but I'm not entirely sure how accurate that is. Lots of you talking about the interest from Real Sociedad. And yep, you know, that is there. The interest from Real Sociedad is definitely there. And it could potentially be where he ends up. But we're going to have to wait and see on that for sure. Let's go over to some more of your comments. I'll just share that tweet on the screen again for those of you who are joining us a little bit later. Martin Odegaard is tempted by Arsenal loan bid and he's going to decide together with his family. That is according to Fabrizio Romano. He also said that Real Sociedad are in advanced talks, so they seem to be a little bit further down the line. But he does mention that that Arsenal interest has caused Odegaard to have second thoughts and has caused him a period of reflection. So what does that mean? We're going to have to wait and see. Let's go back to the live chat. Dominic Harry says, is there going to be a 90-minute live? Not today, mate. There's one in the diary for tomorrow. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And then, of course, back on Monday with the normal gas tank show as well. I think I'm on both of those this time around. So keep your eyes peeled and come and join us for those. Right, let's move on to Mikel Arteta's press conference today. Now, Mikel Arteta faced the media ahead of the game against Southampton in the FA Cup. But of course, as you can imagine, given the recent departures, given the links that we are, you know, being credited with to some of these kind of potential transfer targets, you can understand, I guess, why the Southampton game actually in the press conference took a little bit of a back seat. Now, Mikel Arteta was asked about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Of course, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, when he was replaced the other day, went straight down the tunnel. A lot of people have made something of that and wondered if he was, if he had a problem. Look, Mikel Arteta after the game said he had a problem with his stomach. So we can assume, as crude as this may sound, that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang got the shits. He had a stomach ache. He got the shits and he ran down the tunnel to relieve himself. We've all been there. I know I certainly have. You probably didn't want to know that. But anyway, yeah, it's minor. And in response to that question, he says, as far as I know, he's feeling very good. He was asked a little bit about the team ahead of Saturday. How strong will the squad be? Mikel Arteta not giving anything away, just saying that he will go with a stronger squad as he possibly can. He will assess people and we'll take it from there and see how it goes. Moving on to the Socrates thing, of course, we spoke about it yesterday. Socrates has been, he's left Arsenal. His contract has been terminated by mutual consent. But Mikel Arteta was very complimentary of the Greek and called him a professional, a great person to work with. He went on to kind of explain the reasons for him being left out of the registered squad. He said that we have a lot of central defenders. We're overloaded with foreign players. And as a result, he had a very tough decision to make. He went on to talk about how well the defender took it. He said he's always been really supportive and helpful. So from the bottom of my heart, I wish him the best. It's been a pleasure to work with him and I wish him the best for him and his family. So Mikel, very, very complimentary of Socrates. You know, and kind of his attitude and influence behind the scenes, despite being, you know, surplus to requirements, despite it being very clear that he wasn't necessarily rated in Mikel Arteta's eyes. So it's nice to see him sort of go in with those good words. And as I said yesterday, I think you'll hear a lot of that from Arsenal players, Arsenal staff, etc., people that work with him. Journalists have already been very complimentary of him and spoken about the fact that he was always willing to give up his time regardless of the result. So yeah, you're going to hear a lot of positive things, I think, regarding Socrates's character. We know ability wise he wasn't quite up to it, but in terms of his character, in terms of his sort of persona and all of that stuff. You know, there's not a bad word to be said about him. Let's see what else is happening. You know, Mesut was talking about the deal for Mesut Ozil. Still not had an official announcement on that. But he says the quarantine situation is making that final step the longest ever. He said that there are a lot of restrictions there and there are things that need to be done before announcing everything. He says everything seems to be going okay, but he cannot say definitely what's going to happen. But he did say, as soon as we can, don't worry, we will mention it. He was kind of asked a little bit more about Mesut Ozil, wasn't he, on, you know, why the decision had to be made, why it was a necessary decision, using Mikel Arteta's quote right back at him. And he said it was for many different reasons. There's a history that happens here, that's happened here in the last few years, and how things have developed, how I feel the team should develop in the future, and his position at the club. A player with such importance that is not playing, that is not in the squad, is a really difficult situation to sustain for both parties. The player wants to play and we cannot give him the minutes. And obviously that situation has to be resolved. He then went on to say that he just wants to take the team in a different direction. If he had more options, maybe he would have been some part of the plans. He was part of the plans at the start, but he wasn't anymore at the end. And that's why the decision has been taken to move Mesut Ozil on. Lots of you commenting about the kind of the mole comment. We'll come on to that because that was a little bit later on in the press conference. Quick reminder, though, by the way, if you haven't, make sure you smash the like button on the video. It is so, so important in terms of growing the channel, in terms of getting those videos pushed up the rankings and getting as many people's eyes on the Chronicles of Aguna as possible. So please, if you haven't done it already, make sure you do. Also, subscribe to the channel if you haven't. If you are a YouTube user and you've not subscribed yet, we're approaching 11,500. So we'd love to get there sooner rather than later. So please subscribe. And of course, you probably noticed lots of lovely people in our chat with the wonderful little icon next to their name. That is because they are members of the Chronicles of Aguna YouTube channel. They're helping support me in terms of bringing you guys more and more informative content, high quality content. So if you'd like to support the channel in any way, then please, if you've done all the like stuff and all of the subscribing and all of that jazz, if you're interested in supporting us via the membership scheme as well, then please click the link in the description, which will take you to a landing page. It will detail all the different tiers available, what comes with each one, and you can decide which, if any of those, appeal to you. And we'd look forward to welcoming more of you into our Chronicles of Aguna membership family. So yeah, thank you. Right, let's carry on with the press conference. I'm not going to touch on the FA Cup bits too much. The Theo Walcott stuff, didn't find that very interesting. I think it's all clear that we only want to hear about transfers right now, and the potential situations of some of our players who could be leaving sooner rather than later. We've been talking about Martin Odegaard. Mikel Arteta quite simply wouldn't. He was asked the question on the Norwegian, but Mikel Arteta said he will not comment about players that play for different clubs. So keeping his cards very close to his chest there. He was also asked about the talk of a new deal for Emile Smith Rowe. There's been reports saying that Arsenal are set to offer Emile Smith Rowe a new deal, a new bumper contract that would see his pay increase significantly. Now, this is not a matter of major urgency in terms of the player potentially leaving. Now, Emile Smith Rowe is not earning anywhere near what some of the other first teamers are earning. And that is why there is an appetite to try and incentivize him, or to try and offer him an incentive that will see him stay at the club for as long as possible. Now, Emile Smith Rowe is just 20 years old. He's got plenty of time to earn big bucks, but you know, if he's performing, if he's having such a huge contribution and such a huge influence on this football team, it's only fair that his pay packet reflects that, I think. So yeah, Emile Smith Rowe is said to be in negotiations with the club over a new contract that would see his pay rise significantly. But the reason I talk about this not being a majorly time sensitive issue is because his current deal with the club still has until 2023 to run. So still a couple of years left before Arsenal have to worry about losing him on a free transfer. So that's where we're at with regards to Emil Smith Rowe and what Mikel Arteta had to say, which was, let's go step by step. He's done really well, deserves his chance. He's taking it, grabbing it with both hands in a really convincing way, but let him be and things will come naturally. So Mikel trying to just deflect some of the pressure off of Emil Smith Rowe and some of the speculation that is doing the rounds right now about his future. He also spoke about Cedric, who I think we can all agree had a really, really good game against Newcastle United on Monday night, one of our standout players. And during a season where Hector Bellerin's performances have been quite hit and miss at times, I think this was a bit of a stark reminder that actually we still do, even if Hector Bellerin is not at the top of his game, have a very competent fullback in Cedric Suarez. Now, Mikel Arteta, when the player first joined the club, spoke of his attacking ability. And he said this when he was asked whether Cedric could challenge Bellerin for that right back spot on a permanent basis. He said, yes, since he joined us, he had various injuries and some difficult times. It took him a bit of time to adapt, to get completely free. And now the chance is to play. The best thing with Cedric is the way he takes his profession, the way he trains, the way he prepares himself. So every time we've had to use him, he was always ready. He's always fit to compete, even when not playing for many parts of the season. When he had to play 120 minutes, he was completely ready. And the other night, I think he had a really good game. Very complimentary again of Cedric. And as I always say, competition within the squad is certainly healthy. He was also asked about the left-back situation. Now, of course, Arsenal allowed Sead Kolasinac to leave the club and join Schalke on loan for the remainder of the season. Now, I think a lot of us will agree that Sead Kolasinac wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but we have left ourselves short in terms of natural cover for Kieran Tierney. We saw Ainsley Maitland-Niles playing that position in that game against Crystal Palace, in which he was dreadful, and that's putting it politely. So there are concerns about Arsenal in that left back position, and what would happen in the event of a Kieran Tierney injury. Mikel Arteta admitted that Arsenal were a little bit short in that area. Now, he said, with the departure of Kola, we're a little bit short of a left-footed fullback at the moment. He did go and say, we can use Ainsley there, we can use Bukayo there, and we can use Cedric there. We have some options, but a natural option to Kieran, obviously we don't, but we can adapt. That was Mikel Arteta's words. You know, for me, Bukayo Saka's playing so well in that more advanced role right now. The last thing I want to see is, in the event that Kieran Tierney was unavailable, him being pulled back, into that position. I just don't want to see it. I think he's been so key at the other end of the pitch now. I feel like it would just be taking so much away from our attacking side of the game. Do you trust in Pepe to deliver? Do you trust in Willian to deliver in the event that Saka had to go back to left back? You know, yes, Martinelli's available now, but he likes to play from the left, as does Oba. I just think Saka on the right works so well right now. The last thing I want to see is him being forced back into that left back position. You know, it's for me, I was scratching my head as to why Cedric wasn't playing at left back in the first place, because he is an experienced fullback, and I know he's not playing with his stronger foot, but just like Ainsley Maitland-Niles, but in the difference between the two is that Cedric is far more experienced playing that role than Ainsley Maitland-Niles is, and perhaps he would have adapted to it a little bit better. But having said that, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Ainsley has done the job quite well in the past, so I don't, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but Mikel would have had no reason, I don't think, to believe that that Ainsley wasn't capable of doing it. He just didn't perform on the night, and that is why these questions have come up about him. Following his comments about the left back, he was asked whether that means Arsenal are looking for one in this transfer window, and he says it means that the option is open. We'll be looking to see what is available. And if you watch the transfer special with Fabrizio Romano last night, one of the key words he constantly used when discussing Arsenal and their transfer business was opportunity. If the right opportunity comes along, Arsenal will take it. Arsenal will be ready. And that is very much where we find ourselves. That is very much where the whole transfer market finds itself at the moment. You know, there will be clubs that still have the power to go and spend, but there will be a lot of clubs in a similar boat to us who'll be looking for opportunities between now and the end of the month to get deals done that will strengthen them. But if those opportunities don't come along, perhaps they'll be a little bit less proactive in terms of going out there and actively trying to bring players in. So I think it was described by Fabrizio as phase one of the transfer window for Arsenal, which has been moving people out. We've moved Ozil out, you know, just waiting official confirmation on that, but it's all but done. We've moved Kolasinac out. We've moved Sogradis out. So now it is very much a case of focusing on the incomings, if there are going to be any. I still wouldn't be 100% sure that we will, go out and bring someone in. I think the most important thing to do in this window was to start clearing space for the summer. We can all agree that the summer is going to be more important. We can all agree that the summer is where you would hope Arsenal would do some serious business. But again, you have to take into consideration the impact of the pandemic. You have to understand that financially we're in a bit of a pickle, as are many football clubs right now. So even in the summer, I'm not expecting massive, massive things. But sometimes you can do some very smart business without necessarily breaking the bank. And I want Edu and Arteta to prove that now. You know, now that they have control, now that they have the reins, I want to see that happen. I want to see Arsenal almost throw it back to 1997, where Arsene Wenger came in and started picking out gems that people didn't really know of, and took advantage of clubs that were in probably much weaker financial positions, etc., etc. So I want to see Arsenal be smart. I want to see Arsenal be shrewd in the transfer market. And having said all of that, I don't think it's going to be anything major in terms of finances. Not now, not in the summer, unless something changes that makes me feel otherwise. It's going to be about bringing in the right people and trying to identify people that can come in, but also not be too big of a drain on the resource. Andrea says, Harry, do you expect more departures between now and the end of the window? No, I don't think Shkodran Mustafi will leave. I know there's been talk of that. I know that Fabrizio mentioned it could happen, and he predicted it probably will between now and the end of the window, but I don't see it. I don't see it. That's my opinion, though. I think that we're going to end up keeping Mustafi until the end of the season and see where we go from. Well, we know where it's going to go from there. He's going to leave. His contract comes to an end. He's not signing a new one. It's as simple as that. But in terms of whether I think that will happen between now and the end of the month, I just can't see it. Time is running out, and I don't see Shkodran Mustafi leaving. I think that with Sokratis, it's a little bit different because Arsenal had tried to move him on. Arsenal had tried to move him on and then realized it wasn't really working. It wasn't going to happen. And so decided to terminate the contract in order to make that negotiation between Sokratis and a new club easier, less of a drag, less difficult. So I think that was largely why Arsenal agreed to terminate his contract. But I still think that Mikel Arteta sees Mustafi as part of the squad. You know, the fact that he included him in the squad over Sokratis tells you that he was already higher up in the kind of the manager's eyes, in the manager's rankings, if you like. And so he registered him in the squad. He kept him involved. And I think he plans on keeping him involved until the end of the season. So in terms of more departures, I don't see anything major anyway changing. Let's move on to Balogun. He was asked about whether Balogun's kind of lack of involvement of late is with regards to the contractual situation. And he denied that. He said no straight away, Mikel Arteta. He said he just wants to convince him that he has a future with the club and not send the opposite message. Before, he wasn't training with the first team. We changed that. He's shown a real hunger and desire to be with us. We're trying to get something done because we want him to stay, but we have to go step by step. I think he's made some big steps in the last few months where he wasn't even training. Training with the first team, that is. And then he had a few good games for us. So the steps are there and we want to try and keep him. When asked then why he hasn't been involved, he added that because it's because the competition that we have in the front positions and because there are other players that haven't had many minutes and they played in the FA Cup. He said it takes time. We have to respect that pathway. Eddie as well is not playing a lot of football recently and he is in front of him at the moment. So we have to be calm and respectful. So Mikel Arteta making it abundantly clear that in his opinion, Eddie Nketiah is ahead of following Balogun, despite what the fans say, despite what some of you want to see. You know, there was an outcry, an outpouring almost of Arsenal fans on social media when it seemed as though Balogun had signed for RB Leipzig, saying, why on earth are we keeping Eddie Nketiah? Why is Eddie Nketiah ahead of him in the pecking order? But the reality is that it's always been the case, and that's how Mikel sees it, and that's not changed. Based on a couple of sort of appearances in the Europa League against weaker opposition, that hasn't changed in Mikel's eyes. He still sees Nketiah very much as being ahead of Balogun. You know, the longer this drags on, the more you worry that the player is going to walk away on a free transfer. But equally, if his demands are high, and I'm not just talking about financially, I'm talking about his demands in terms of game time, are something that Mikel Arteta thinks is unreasonable or something that he can't fulfill, then let him go. As I always refer to this tweet from James Cook, where he said he could either be the next Thierry Henry or he could be the next Chuba Akpom. That is absolutely spot on. It's absolutely spot on. We don't know what the future holds. And as I always say, potential means nothing unless you fulfill it. There you go. Just finally from the press conference today, the kind of other big bit that has kind of made some headlines and made some waves was regards to the mole at Arsenal Football Club. Now, Mikel Arteta said during the time where there were a lot of negative stories coming out of the Emirates Stadium with regards to players scrapping on the training pitch, discontent behind the scenes. He said that there was a mole in the club and he was going to make every effort to find out who it was. He was asked if he had identified the mole, to which he responded, I have a sort of an idea, yes. And then he was asked, was that related to the players who went out this month, i.e. was it one of them that you've identified as the mole? And he said he will not comment on that. I think a lot of people will be pointing to Mesut Ozil here as the primary suspect. It's an understandable conclusion to come to, but of course we don't know for sure. But for Mikel to kind of hint that he did find out who he was and Mesut's going and all of that, you know, you put two and two together. You know, maybe it was him, but we don't know for sure. I'm sure at some point in the future, more will come out about this whole Ozil debacle and how it's all ended for him. Some of you in the chat saying that it was Ozil's agent, and Ozil's got to tell him for that to get to the agent. You know, we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to hold tight on that one. I'm sure in the future, there'll be a little bit more of an indication as to what exactly has gone on there. But Mikel Arteta claims that he has an idea about who the mole has been at Arsenal this whole time. Interesting stuff from Mikel. Right, we've come to that point in the show where it's time for you guys to chuck your questions in the chat box. Get them in now, and I will come to as many of those as I possibly can between now and the end of the stream. Just a quick reminder, check out our show with Fabrizio Romano. You can find me now writing on 90 Min 3 days a week, so you can check out my articles. I share them all to my Twitter feed, so check those out. And yeah, quick reminder about our membership scheme. If you haven't signed up already, click the link in the description. It will bring up our landing page and you can check out the three tiers of membership available and decide which, if any of those, are suited to you. And we'd love to welcome more of you to the Chronicles of Aguna membership family. Actually, do you know what? While you guys put your questions in, there was a few that joined up during the night last night. So I just want to say a massive thank you to you guys, because I haven't had a chance to do that yet. Also, if you are an existing member and you haven't already joined our Discord server, the link is in the community tab. It's available to members only, but I know there are less people in the Discord server than we have active members right now. So some of you are missing out on something that is included in the package. So be sure to take that up. I want to say a big welcome to Jeffrey Nichols, who's joined us as a platinum member. Jeffrey, thank you so much. To Chris, to Ivan Z, and to Luca421 for all becoming members. Thank you all so much for your support. It is very, very much appreciated. Right, let's go over to some of your questions. J04 says, if Arsenal get Odegaard on loan but no backup goalkeeper, is it a successful window? Difficult one, because I think there are two positions for which we have equal need right now, and those are the two: the central attacking midfield player and the backup goalkeeper. You know, these are the two positions that Arsenal must prioritize before doing anything else, in my opinion. But, you know, sometimes circumstances don't allow you to achieve everything that you want in a transfer window. You know, sometimes opportunities don't come up. Sometimes things break down at the last minute, not leaving you enough time to pursue other targets. I'd be delighted if we got Odegaard in, as you would have gathered from this show so far. But, you know, it's going to be difficult to do. In terms of a goalkeeper, you know, the Runarsson thing is only a problem if Bern Leno is sidelined for a significant period of time. And, you know, it's a potential problem, but right now it's not a problem, if that makes sense. For as long as Bern Leno is fit, it's not an issue. Only becomes an issue if he's then unavailable. So, you know, you'd be acting to kind of, you'd be proactive in the sense of you're trying to deal with a potential issue before it arises. But I think Arsenal, you know, knowing Arsenal over the last few years, are more likely to be reactive. And that will be partly down to the way that they've conducted themselves of late, but it will partly be down to finance as well. It will partly be down to the fact that the circumstances aren't quite normal at the moment. You know, financially, we're going through a very difficult time. If we weren't, we wouldn't have taken that loan from the Bank of England just a couple of weeks ago. So I think because of that, Arsenal will probably be a little bit more reactive in the transfer market rather than proactive. Look, if we got one or the other, I'd be pleased. Obviously, I'd still feel we need the other one, but you know, you can't have it all, and sometimes circumstance doesn't allow you to do the business that you want. Big hello to Kevin Campbell in the live chat. Check out the Highbury squad as well. We had a really good show on there the other day. Thank you to Kevin and to Sophie for inviting me on. We had a really, really good chat, really good debate. So head over to the Highbury squad and check that out if you haven't already. I know lots of you have seen it already because lots of you were commenting about it in the Discord server, which is great. But yeah, make sure you get over there and make sure that you are subscribed. Right, let's pick up a couple or a few more questions. What else have we got here? Let's see. I saw a good one. Gunatel, one of our members, says, Harry, do you think there is an argument that an Isco type of player and the experience he would bring would be better for Emile Smith-Rowe's development in the longer term than that of an Odegaard? It's a really, really valid and good point. I really like that. Yeah, you know, there is an argument to be made that someone who's been there, done it, achieved it, like Isco, would be able to help Emile Smith-Rowe along his way and help him enhance his game. But if bringing someone like Isco in means that Emile Smith-Rowe doesn't play, then it can have a counterproductive effect as well. So there's two ways of looking at that, but it's a really good point, you know. And you know, he would have, people will hate me saying this because, you know, he's gone and they're done with him now and they don't want to hear it spoken about ever again. But Emile Smith-Rowe would have learned an awful lot from training with Mesut Ozil. And in terms of, you know, his position, yeah, I think it would help to have a more experienced specialist in that role to help him to pick up things. But equally, as I say, if it is with the kind of side effect of Emile Smith-Rowe's game time being less, then I, you know, it could be a bit of a hindrance as well. But it's a really good point, and one that the club certainly certainly need to consider. Indigeno says, if Ozil was to blame for being the mole, what would that do to his legacy at the Arsenal? To me personally, it wouldn't do a great deal to it. I mean, you know, for me, he was a very good player most of the time. Did have bad spells, did have times where he didn't turn up. I think that the biggest crime with regards to Mesut Ozil is that Arsenal never built a team strong enough to give him the platform that he needed to really showcase what he could do. But, you know, that's been a gripe with Arsenal for years and years now. And you know, we were up in arms when Alexis Sanchez went because his contract was coming to an end. Then we all celebrated Mesut Ozil being given a contract. And then, what, a couple of years down the line, we were all shouting at the club and you know, throwing mud at the club because the club had given him that contract. So you can't, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. I like to try and put that kind of stuff to one side because I think there were faults on both sides, which is why I've not been harsh on Mesut Ozil in the eyes of a lot of you, because I do think that the issue was two ways. In terms of what it does for his legacy, for me, nothing, because for me, I look at the football and that's my main thing. And I think that, as I said, everything that occurred afterwards behind the scenes was a byproduct of two parties not conducting themselves properly. So it's difficult to pin the blame on solely on one or the other, I think. What else have we got here? Omar says, likelihood of Odegaard joining us, bearing in mind we only have 10 days to pull it off. I'd say it's about 50-50 at the moment. In terms of my guess, of course, I'm taking into account the time remaining in the transfer window, but I'm also taking into account the fact that there are other clubs in the running and other clubs who are said to be ahead of us in that running right now. Right, let's see what else you've got. Neil D'Souza says, big up, Harry, we should hire Leicester scouting team. Yeah, they've been brilliant. They've been really good. They've done some really good business over the years. Brought in some really, really top players. And you know, it's reflected in Leicester's league position. You know, they're well above where they should be. They're punching well above their weight at the moment. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Right. That brings us to the end of this live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna. Hope you've all enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, before we go, hit the like button on your way out. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And if you want to become a member of the channel, click on the link in the description for more information or to sign up. We'll be back tomorrow with some more Arsenal-related content. We'll be bringing you a couple of shows tomorrow. We'll be talking a little bit about transfers on the one, and we'll be looking ahead to that game against Southampton because it's the early kickoff on Saturday. So two shows coming your way tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll be back then. Until then, take care. Stay safe. All the best.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.